Hello, true believers. I'm Joshua Gilliland, one of the two legal geeks. With me, as always, is my partner in geekdom, Jessica Meterson. Jessica.
Hey, Josh.
We are lawyers, but more importantly, we are geeks. Tell the world why we are here today, Jessica.
We are here today to discuss superheroes, which is why we have on our superhero shirts and, of course, my superhero glasses when I'm in disguise as a regular civilian. Technically, we are here to discuss Marvel comics, and so I know I shouldn't have on Wonder Woman. She's a DC creation, but you are true to Marvel. What are you wearing, Josh?
I'm wearing my Captain America shirt because that's just how I am. I'm that heroic, chiseled jaw American who will stand up and fight for the rights of others. That's who I am.
All right.
So let's get to work here. So there's this new book out on the Marvel Universe. Now, what has this book made you appreciate about Marvel Comics?
This book is called Marvel Comics, The Untold Story. And I have to say right up front, I grew up with comic books. I've always enjoyed reading comics, but I'm not like a hardcore comic book geek. I can't talk about, you know, this storyline or this issue. I'm just like, I liked reading them as a kid. I still love my Buffy season 8. You know, I love Frey. I love Wonder Woman. I tend to like more of the chick action things, but also love Marvel books. But what this book did is it made me, do a couple different things, but first of all, made me really appreciate how impressive comic books are. The art in particular, I mean, the things that they were doing in the 60s with, like, pop art and experimental art was amazing.
So this book has it, you know, obviously you can't say Marvel Comics without saying Stan Lee. Has the book made you change your way that you see Stan Lee?
It does a little.
Yeah,
you know, I grew up... you know, like Kevin Smith, I, you know, love Stan Lee, thought he was cool, love it when he makes a cameo in a movie. Really to think that he was the driving force behind Marvel. And what I realized in reading this book is that, you know, while he certainly was the writer and did have, you know, a lot of great, brilliant creative ideas and creative characters, he was really only part of the team. You know, in particular, Jack Kirby really was the other half of Marvel. There was also Steve Ditko, who was the artist who created Spider-Man, and there were a lot of other great artists along the way, too. But Jack Kirby in particular was one who created just as many characters. You know, he and Stan Lee would have this process, and Stan Lee did this with all of his artists, but it worked best with Jack Kirby, where they would kind of discuss the germ of an idea, and then Stan Lee would go off and basically create and draw the entire comic book, you know, whatever that issue was. And so he would use his words or his pictures to create the plot and to really drive the story forward, and then Stan Lee would take it and put in dialogue. Sometimes the dialogue might change the ideas that Jack had for the story. But, you know, really, I mean, Jack wasn't just drawing the pictures. He was actually creating the story, too, and was truly a writer along with Stan Lee, even if he wasn't writing the actual words that the character spoke. And so, you know, seeing that and seeing how Stan Lee kind of put himself out there as the face of Marvel, when in fact, you know, he was part of a bigger team, it's kind of unfortunate, especially, you know, at the end of the day, Stan Lee has benefited financially and just from, you know, the public kind of idea. He's benefited a lot from the work of Marvel, while Jack Kirby and others never got to reap all the rewards that Stan Lee did.
So does the book change the way that you look at comics?
It makes me appreciate more how, well, especially Marvel in particular, how they really were kind of the first to, you know, use real life situations and work those into their stories. I mean, Captain America was actually fighting the Nazis. You know, he wasn't fighting Penguin in Gotham City or something. They dealt with drug issues. They tried, you know, during kind of civil rights movement, they introduced, you know, it was kind of feeble at first, but they did introduce some black superheroes. So I appreciate what they did there and how they really, you know, how they truly are a great form of storytelling. It's not just for little kids. And again, like I said before, too, from an art perspective, they were doing really amazing things, especially a couple of the artists in general, or in particular, were really pushing the boundaries of what you could do with art, especially in that kind of comic book form. But it did make me appreciate that there's a lot more to these comics than just, you know, again, picking up an issue and looking at some pictures with some words.
Exactly. Now, since we are lawyers, let's talk copyright law. How is copyright treated in comic books versus, say, the other artistic realms? And I'm not talking about the nine realms from Thor.
Well, that's, of course, the problem. And that's where poor Jack Kirby in particular got hurt. Even Stan Lee at times was beat down by the fact that In general, in copyright law, the idea is that the author of a work, be it, you know, a story or a picture or a song, or a kind of any other sort of creative work, the creator is the author, is the one who has a legally, who's legally entitled to own that piece of work. And can also, and there are some exceptions to this, like with the recording industry, but they have the right, they get to decide if somebody can reproduce that work or not. And usually, of course, they get compensated if people want to reproduce it. Unfortunately, in the U.S., the Copyright Act actually has an exception for what they call works for hire. So if you are basically employed by an employer, like Marvel Magazine and Martin Goodman for many years, you as an employee, the work that you create, be it Spider-Man or Thor or, you know, the Fantastic Four, you actually were not the owner of those works. According to the law in the U.S., the employer was viewed as the author, and they were the ones who had the legal right to possess and control those works. So what that meant, of course, is that even Stan Lee, but, you know, Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, and the others, they created these works, and then Marvel was selling them off, you know, for movie rights, for TV shows, action figures, all of that. They weren't getting really any of that money. At the end of the day, Stan Lee, because he became so identified with Marvel, he actually had benefited, you know, financially from the deals with Hollywood and all the different kind of things. But the other, the artists and the other writers never got that same kind of financial benefit from the very works that they created. So that's kind of depressing.
Just a touch. So let's talk characters. I'm going to show some geek, you know, credential here. You know, who are your favorite characters in the Marvel Universe?
I have to say one of my favorites as a kid was always Thor, just because I grew up loving Norse mythology, all mythology, but Norse mythology in particular. So I loved, you know, Odin and Loki and seeing all of that. So that was always something that I could really relate to and tie it into my other interests. So Thor was always one of my favorites. I liked him as he was depicted in The Avengers as well, I must say. But in reading the book, actually, about, you know, the creation of these different kind of, the different groups and everything, I just say it makes me appreciate the Fantastic Four more and the Thing. Like, you know, when I was a kid reading them, the Thing was just the big, angry kind of, you know, heap of bricks. But now reading about how they really did view the Thing and his struggles in particular, because he could never change back and he was always stuck like that, how hard it was, but kind of all the ordeals the Fantastic Four went through really makes me appreciate them much more. How about you?
Agreed. Agreed. Many favorite characters. Captain America, one of my favorites. Very fond of Thor, and more on that in a second. But one of the, you know, the one of the best storylines, as I talked about before, was Civil War. And yes, one of my favorite Thor storylines goes back to late 80s, early 90s time period, where Hela, you know, made it so Thor couldn't die. So he keeps getting hurt, so, you know, and his bones don't heal, so he has, like, body armor, and so his arm's permanently broken, and so he can only use it a certain way. And he ends up having to fight what he thinks is Fing Fan Foom, who in reality was Seth, you know, the serpent that circled the world. And, you know, that was issue 379 and 380 was the fight, which had, like, the big splash pages and was this epic battle. And it ends with, you know, Thor defeating Seth. But in doing so, it's like his body's like boil away. So it's like just like, you know, nothing left. Ew. And as he you know, crashes down into Earth, you know, the panel is, you know, states 9 steps the hero took, striding like a giant. And in my, you know, pre-teenage mind, I thought, like, that was just awesome, you know, that, you know, to have that line of, you know, the heroic fall. You know, that the hero defeated the bad guy, but it was, you know, at the cost of everything. Now, mm-hmm. Granted, we have a lot of fun with, you know, he takes over the destroyer and goes to hell, and we have the ghost of the executioner and all this other fun stuff. But that was an awesome storyline. And again, remember it over 20 years later on how well they did that. So more like 25 probably. Death of Captain Marvel, they've, you know, again, first graphic novel with a hero dying, very well done. So Marvel's done a really good job of tackling big issues.
Yeah, they
and
have.
And also making great points and great action.
Yeah.
With that, you know, we look forward to Avengers 2 and The Dark World and Guardians of the Galaxy and everything else that we'll see, you know, in the coming, you know, years that follow. So, but get to your comic book store, and you got to get a Marvel shirt.
I will.
So we can do this again. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, America. Stay geeky. Stay geeky, America.
I got my bracelet.